All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand to read our foundational verse. Welcome to the Onward Christian Soldier Bible Study class. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And then turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Holy Father God, we thank you for your rich and holy word, which speaks to our hearts in so many ways. It is so deep and rich. And Holy Father God, we pray for the help of your Holy Ghost to make this passage clear to everybody, to help people who are caught up in this world of envy, of their Facebook friends, Instagram friends, Twitter friends, envy at the number of followers, envy at what people lie and say they're doing, and how wonderful people lie and say how wonderful their family is when they hardly speak to each other, trying to make people envious. It is a disgusting, demonic, and childish game that people have played in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would deliver all of the depressed young ladies who are caught up in this demonic, childish game, and help them to confess their sins and help them to repent and to turn from their evil ways. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will save those who are lost and who are looking for a new life, and revive those who are saved who are backslidden and who have gotten caught up in envy and materialism and clothes and money and trying to outdo other people, whose hearts and bones have been eaten away, minds have been eaten away because of envy, jealousy, trying to keep up with people who don't even know them, and give them victory over it. And it's not an easy thing, Lord, we know, but we know that you have the power and might to do it if people will trust in you and obey your holy word. And Lord, we probably need this passage of scripture and this dealing with this issue more now than ever. For even social media companies are showing sympathy for the many people who are committing suicide because they can't keep up with their girlfriends. They can't keep up with their family members who are, in most cases, lying about how great they're doing when in reality they're curled up in a fetal position because they're sick and tired of faking and being a phony. So, Lord, we pray that you'll deliver millions from this trap. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, demonstrate the power, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Ghost, and speak to our hearts in a very powerful way. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Were you able to hear it? Were you able to hear it? Did you try that? Okay. Try to slip something on and see if you can hear it. Real good. Ladies and gentlemen, Saint Anatoly of Optina said, "Wherever God is, there is peace. Wherever God is, there is peace." And allow me to add to that, my dear friends, when you meet people, one of the marks of them being truly saved, truly born again Christians, is that they will be lovers of peace. They will have a peacefulness about them. Don't marry somebody who does not have that sign, if you will. Don't marry somebody who is restless. The young and the restless. Somebody said recently, the young and the textless. Young people are, some people are smartly, he was referring to the text of the Word of God, so. But some young people are smartly getting off their phones for a while. So many people have suffered damage in their minds, in their psyche, in their family life, through social media. But let me say something. Allow me to say something to you. There's nothing wrong with social media. Just like there's nothing wrong with television. There's nothing wrong with Instagram. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. There's nothing wrong with Twitter. There's nothing wrong with the internet. There's something wrong with you when you allow it to control you and use you, when you ought to be using it and controlling it for good purposes. There's just as much good on the internet than there is evil. It'd be better to use these phones right here. Go ahead and use those. There's just as much good on the internet as there is evil. It depends on whether or not your heart is right. And your heart is good. Are you using it, leveraging it to get the gospel out and to help other people? Or are you constantly consuming what other people are doing? And you're all caught up in the foolishness that many people are caught up in today, young and old. Then it will become worse than television to you. It will depress you. It will hurt your feelings. It will make you feel badly. It will make you not want to get out of bed in the morning if you are caught up in envying other people and you're being controlled by it, used by it, instead of you're using it and controlling it. And see, one of the marks of a Christian too is they don't let things control them. They don't let people control them, but God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. No. Nothing should be controlling you as a child of God. And so back to the quote. Wherever God is, he said, there is peace. And the opposite is self-evident. Where there is envy, enmity, impatience, self-love, selfishness, there is the devil. Wherever the devil is, there everything is ruinous, proud, hostile, and hurtful. Allow me to tell you this little story regarding envy. Two shopkeepers were bitter rivals. Pay close attention. Their stores were directly across the street from each other. And they would spend each day keeping track of each other's business. If one got a customer, he would smile in triumph at his rival. One night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, "I will give you anything you ask, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Do you want to be rich? You can be very rich, but he will be twice as rich as you, twice as wealthy. Do you wish to live a long and healthy life? You can, but his life will be longer and healthier than yours. What is your desire?" The man frowned, thought for a moment, and then said, "Here's my request. Strike me blind in one eye. Strike me blind in one eye." Rather smart fellow, but devilishly smart. That's what envy will do to you. Let's finish, ladies and gentlemen, looking at why we should not be envious of the wicked. And by the way, let me tell you young people something. Some young people, people who are in the tech world for their life, for their living, they're taking whole weekends off of social media. Whole weekends. They cut their phone off where they do most of their business and everything else. I know one man who does everything on his iPhone, everything. Everything is on his iPhone. He can do anything on his iPhone. But what they're doing is, at 10 o'clock at night, they shut it off. And they don't look at it again until 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. And these are high-powered tech people who created the technology and the social media in the first place. That's what they do, because they know how damaging it can be. And if you have a weak constitution, if you don't have Christ in you and you have a weak constitution, dear friend, you're going to get messed up in the grind of the internet and the social media. The internet is a very powerful tool. We use it mightily. We use it as a sword, man, big time. Right now, as I speak, there are literally thousands of gospel presentations that I've done over the past 10 years or so. Thousands. That's one of the reasons why the devil hates me so much, because God gave me the strategy to have an overwhelming approach to getting the gospel out. Don't just do one thing, do multiple things, and then set it out there for on demand. Millions, literally millions of people have heard the gospel through this ministry because of God's call on my life to be an evangelist. Everything I put out has the gospel in it. Every podcast, every sermon, every book, everything we have put out contains the gospel. Every, of course, gospel tracts, pamphlets, whatever. Publications online. We have over 1,000 websites. They all contain the gospel multiple times. And this is why the devil gives me hell, gives my family hell, because he can't stand it. And if he could kill me, he would have done so. And I'm not joking, people. But God has said, no, you can't kill him. You can do this. You can do some other things. My wife has told me, like Job's wife, to curse God and die. I said, no, I'm not. She's sitting here now. She said, no, I didn't. Well, she might as well said it. But no, she has not used those words. Curse God and die. The devil has brought everything he could against me, my wife included. And I'm gonna tell you something about the devil. You take him on, he's gonna get back at you. He's gonna fight you. He's not gonna quit. He's not gonna quit. He does not go to sleep. He does not take any holidays. He'll be working throughout Thanksgiving, I assure you. And Dr. Matthew Henry said, the end of sinners will be everlasting shame. The end of saints, endless honor. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be with the saints. Saints are wise men and act wisely for themselves. For though their religion now wraps them up in obscurity, and lays them open to reproach, yet they are sure to inherit glory at last. The far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, they shall have it, and have it by inheritance, the sweetest and surest tenure. God gives them grace. Some of you are moving on along in life at a good clip. That's because of God's grace, God's mercy. God seems to pave the way for you and open up doors for you through treacherous waters, but just understand it's not you, it's God's grace, and therefore they shall inherit glory. For grace is glory. It is glory begun, the earnest of it. Sinners are fools, for they are not only preparing disgrace for themselves, but at the same time flattering themselves with a prospect of honor, as if they only took the way to be great. Their end will manifest their folly, their foolishness. Shame shall be their promotion, and it will be so much the more their punishment, as it will come instead of their promotion. It will be all the promotion they must ever expect, that God will be glorified in their everlasting confusion. And so my last point that my baby son wish I had preached last week, because I did not do it threw him off, on his helping me to prepare the sermons and messages. And I believe he got mad at me because I did that. And so when he gave me the sermon, it was just this point. And so I lovingly encouraged him to help fill it out some more. But I thank God for his help. And this is our last point, and I'm just going to share this, and then we're going to part ways, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. The fourth point, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. This is a very serious matter. The wise shall be honored. The foolish will suffer the promotion of fools. That's only God can write stuff like that. Only God can put it together like that. The promotion of fools. The promotion of fools is their punishment. Only God can turn a phrase like that. And we see it every day, don't we? Foolish people. You have some in your family. Foolish people. Won't listen. How many of you got family members? You have friends that you can predict. As soon as you try to help them with something, as soon as you try to teach them something, you know because they have foolishness in their hearts, they're not going to listen. In fact, we'll get a bad attitude and hate you for trying to help them do something good for themselves. Now, dear friend, that is foolishness. That's the definition of foolishness. When you won't even sit and learn or choose to do what you know to do right, that will benefit you and bless you. And you won't do it, knowing that you're going to be punished for it. That's the height of foolishness, people. How many people we see today who live a life of self-destruction? The promotion of fools. And some and wise pastors and Christian servants and leaders and mentors, you try to help the people, but some people you have to do like Dr. John McNeil Jr. does. And only pastors can do it like this. Only pastors can sit back and watch you self-destruct. They're not being mean. They know, but see, they don't have the time to waste in trying to help you because they know that you're not going to listen, and they're so wise at it now and so discerning at it, they can look at you and tell that you're not going to listen, that you're going to do what you want to do, and so it's going to blow up in your face and you're going to self-destruct. The promotion of fools. May God help you. Dr. McNeil Jr., Dr. John McNeil Jr., he'll look at you, watch you. He'll tell you what the Word of God says. He knows you're not going to listen. You're going to do it your way. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Oh, I wish I can sing like those three girls. Don't go chasing waterfalls. If I knew the other words, I'll tell you. Dr. John McNeil Jr. and other wise pastors will look at you. Okay? And they won't be nasty about it. See, a prophet like me, an evangelist, all hell going to break loose in your life. Don't do it. I see you getting mad, and I'm going to tell you even more. Don't do it. It's going to be a mess. It's going to blow up in your face. You're going to be destroyed. Don't do it. Listen to me. But pastors have learned down through the years, they have that discernment. Certain people, you can't tell anything. And most people are that way. Most people are that way. And they let you go. And basically they say without saying it, I'll be here when you get back. I'll be here when you come back from your troubles. I'll be here when you get back from your punishment, from your promotion of fools. Yeah, you'll be back in about 3 or 4 years. Telling me how terrible it was. Telling me, Pastor, if I had just listened to you, I would have avoided all of this. And you know, pastors, good pastors, you know what? They won't gloat. Good pastors will, they won't say, I told you so. They just look at you. They're going to look at you the same way they look at you when they were when you were going headlong into destruction. They're not bad an eye. They're not going to, they won't even shake their head. You know, they're going to try to help you. They're going to try to help you. They're not going to say, I told you so. But a prophet, an evangelist like myself, see, I told you but so. See, you didn't listen. Look at you now. You should have listened. Now, I bet you won't do that again. So you need the prophet who will try to help you prevent the problem in the first place. And you need the pastor who is going to be there for you when you did not listen and you messed up. And he'll try to help you get back on your feet. But I will remind you as the prophet that there are some things that don't have a remedy. The pastor's not going to tell you that. That's my job. There's some things that you do that there's no remedy for. Now, the pastor will help you get up as much as he can. But you might not be able to get back about 50%. You bent over in pain. Just like Dr. Charles McKinney said one time, if you cut your arm off while you're rebelling against God and drunk driving, in sin, and God chastises you, and you get through the chastisement, the arm is not going to grow back. Okay? There's some things that are just not going to grow back and be like our prosperity gospel people tell you that it's going to be. Everything's going to be all right, and this is your setup for a comeback, and this is this, that, and other. That's not always the case. The promotion of fools. He who hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See, there are, let me help you. There are sexual sins. Sexual sins are things that is not going to be 100% when you, if you do come back. If you make it back. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, that's going to be damage in your life until the day you die. It's going to mess with you. That's why Paul warned us not to do it in the first place. A man should not touch a woman. If you're not married to him, or not to touch him at all. If you're married, touch all the time if you want to. But if you're not married, you can't do that. So anyway, those who are truly wise will accept Christ as Savior so they can inherit a place in heaven as children of God. Even through their faith, even though their faith may be under reproach by the world, as it is now for all of us who are true Christians, they will attain an eternal place of glory. Those who are foolish and disregard the words of God can only expect punishment as their promotion. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you it was going to be short. Isaac Watts said, "No, I shall envy them no more who grow profanely great, though they increase their golden store and rise to wondrous height. They taste of all the joys that grow upon this earthly clod. Well, they may search the creature through, for they have never a God. Shake off the thoughts of dying too, and think your life your own. But death comes hastening on to you to mow your glory down. Yes, you must bow your stately head. Away your spirit flies, and no kind angel near your bed to bear it to the skies. Go now and boast of all your stores, and tell how bright you shine. Your heaps of glittering dust are yours, and my Redeemer's mine. If you struggle with envy, dear friend, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Don't be envious of anybody, saved or lost, rich or poor, good looking or ugly. Don't be envious of anybody. Be content with how God has made you and blessed you and provided for you. And make sure that you're always positioned to help others and not become helpless through foolishness and envy. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace that you give to those of us who are broken and humble before you, who are willing to confess our sins and to repent, and who are willing to listen to your holy word so that we will not suffer the promotion of fools, envying other people, all caught up in materialism and flesh and money and so forth. Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon your Christian people who have allowed the internet and social media to control them. They would rather be on social media than talk to the warm body right beside them. They would rather communicate with empty friends that they don't know than to communicate with their own spouse and their own children. Thank you for what is happening, that even social media people who created social media and who are masters of the internet, they have walked away from it themselves, and they use it as a tool, as it should be used, and not something they go to bed with, wake up in the middle of the night looking at, just to become more envious of people who are more successful, more beautiful, have a better family life, even a bigger church. Have mercy and grace upon us. As Christians, forgive us of our sins for allowing ourselves to get caught up with such foolishness. For some people are depressed, some people are defeated in your church, and some are even contemplating committing suicide because they can't keep up. Help them, Lord, to get their hearts right with you and be content with what you've given to them and to be at peace. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. And for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, the Holy Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sin and saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ. Yes, I know. I don't know why they want us to be in heaven with him, with them, but they do. The Bible tells us that they love us, that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to suffer, to bleed and die on the cross. A horrific death, was buried, and rose on the third day. That's how much God loves us. Somebody said a long time ago, God loves us this much, and he stretched out his arms and died on the cross. People, you can't make this up. No writer in history could come up with such a story that is so true and so rich, that never dies, never gets old. Listen, let me tell you, the people who have already been saved, you know why we have so many people to come and listen? Because they love to hear the gospel themselves. They've been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, 40 years. And it is presented for you to get saved just like them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you want to be saved tonight right where you are, just like the thief on the cross, you can be saved without being in church, without getting baptized, without doing any good works. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe God arranged that. No doubt God arranged it so people understand. It is not about your works and your good works and your money and giving to the church. It's all about believing on Christ. Nothing else. Plus nothing. Minus nothing. Faith in Christ. That means that even you can get saved, no matter what kind of sins you committed. He was dying, the thief on the cross. He was dying on the cross because he committed the sin of stealing. No matter what you have done, you can trust Christ today and pray and ask him to save you, and he'll save you. So follow me in prayer, the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have lusted after people and things. I have stolen things before, just like the thief on the cross. I have lied before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins, that he took my place, that he paid my sin debt that I owe to you. I believe with all of my heart he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus, For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by believing on Him. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.